We'll read from three different verses tonight. Don't let that scare you. I don't think I'm going to be super long. You never can tell. But I had a thought hit my heart this afternoon, and I felt like I'd be preaching on something else tonight, and I couldn't get away from the thought. I've never preached this before, and so I was a little short on time, and I hope it doesn't show up too much in the message. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. I'll be reading two verses out of 2 Corinthians, one verse out of 1 Peter. Brother Brandon selected a song this evening that couldn't fit any better with the message. I didn't talk to him. In fact, as he was walking past, I said, "You are going to lead the singing, aren't you?" And he kept walking like he was just going to ignore me. But I appreciate sensitivity of the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 15. The Apostle Paul writes these words, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." And if you'll put your finger right there, hold your place, and turn to 1 Peter, chapter number 1. And I'm going to read a few verses here. Verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Verse 8 said, "Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Now I want you to turn back to 2 Corinthians. We'll read one final verse and get into the message, chapter number 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll just start reading in verse 1, read the first five verses. "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was called up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for allowing us to be in your house together. Thank you for the songs that were sung. Thank you, Lord, for all the goodness and kindness that you show to us. And we ask you, Lord, to work in us, especially in these days that are set aside for it. Work in us a heart of thankfulness and gratitude to you. Lord, open our eyes up to see your blessings and help us, Lord, to turn away from all the things that displease you. Lord, we plead with you for peace in our land. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to prosper this country, to keep us at peace one with another. And Father, we pray, as only you are able, that you would open the eyes of the blind in our leadership positions in our country. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and for all that you will do for us as your people. I ask you to help us now, speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I pulled three verses out, and these three verses really just have one common thread to them, and it is the word unspeakable. These are the only three times that the word unspeakable is found in our King James Bible. And they come from three different Greek words that in themselves are only used one time apiece in our King James Bible. Really interesting that God chose to pen down His Word that way. But I want to take some thoughts from these verses and preach to you tonight on the thought when language fails. Now, speech and verbal communication is no doubt a blessing from God. In fact, just a moment ago, I was in my pew and Brandy kind of nudged me and Hope was upset about something. And I looked over at Hope and she started pointing at a little bracelet and pointing over here. And I didn't know what in the world she's upset about. And Brandy had to translate for me because she was not verbally communicating what was bothering her. Now imagine a world with no speech. Well, you would be without the ability to discern the thoughts of other people. Can you imagine what your household would be like if you and your wife or you and your husband couldn't communicate verbally one with another, and it was left up to you to just discern what was going on in her mind or in his mind? My wife would probably think she'd fare well in a world like that. She seems to be a mind reader from time to time. I think she is anyway. But I don't want it left up to me to discern people's thoughts, and neither do you. We don't want it left to one another to look at the countenance or the expression on somebody's face and try to figure out what they're thinking or what they want or what their desires are, what their intentions are. Can you imagine the frustrations you'd find on the job site, Brother Scotty, if you were needing something and all you could do from 20 foot high on a ladder is look down to the person and start making hand gestures to them and pointing here and there? Boy, it'd be a frustrating world to live in, wouldn't it? So verbal communication and language and speech is a gift that God's given unto us. I wonder how well we would fare in our evangelism if we weren't able to speak. How would you without words convince a man of his sin? How would you without words express to him the love of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus? And so I'm just simply saying that speech is a very important thing. Verbal communication is very important. And we don't think of it often. We don't usually thank God that people have the ability to talk, but we really ought to. We ought to thank God that we're able to hear and able to speak and communicate through song, communicate through the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, the hearing of the Word of God. It is a blessing that He's given unto us as His people, and I'm grateful for it. In our verses, there is this word that is used. It is the word unspeakable. And it is used to describe things that cannot be accurately or fully described by any words in our vernacular. Language fails in any effort to describe the gift of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Language fails us when we try to express what it really is to have the joy of salvation deep in our heart and deep in our soul. Peter said it's joy unspeakable. It is indescribable joy that we have as God's people. And then language also fails when it comes to describing the sights and the sounds of heaven. I believe it was Paul at Lystra. That's what many believe. I'm one of those. When he was stoned and taken up for dead, that he had this vision that he speaks to us about in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. A man called up into the third heaven, and he heard things that were unutterable and words that were unlawful for a man to speak, unspeakable words. Well, sometimes language really does fail. Yeah. I've had some folk at times that have done very kind things for me. I remember when we were getting started with tent ministry, I had sold my work van at the end of 2016, I guess it was, and I had about $7,000 from selling my van, and I thought I better go ahead and buy a tent trailer before I run out of money, before I use all that money on something else. I know you guys wouldn't do that, but sometimes I have. And I remember just kind of halfway praying about it, Lord, do you want me to go ahead and take that van money, and I felt in my heart impressed that God wanted me to wait. That was in December. And I thought, well, I don't need a trailer for a few months, so I'm just going to wait. And it was in the middle of January. I got a text message probably about 9 o'clock at night from a deacon at the church I used to pastor in Rutherfordton, North Carolina. He sent me a message, and he said that he had completed a big job and was waiting on a check. And as soon as that check came in, he wanted to give me $5,000 to buy a tent trailer. That was a moment when language failed me. I didn't know what to say. Didn't know how to say thank you. Didn't know how to express what was going on. It was unbelievable to me. But it was a time when language failed. I think we've probably all had a few moments like that. I remember watching my wife, well, my wife-to-be for a few moments anyway, still. I remember when she turned a corner there at Oak Grove Baptist Church and walked down that center aisle with whatever that song is that they play, "When Here Comes the Bride," you know. And I remember seeing her, and there's not words to describe how that felt in my heart. I remember when God saved me. And there are not words to describe what He did in my heart and the peace that He gave unto me. I'm just saying, there are some times that language fails in our efforts to describe things. I want you to imagine for a minute. Now, Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, of course, under inspiration, and then I bet you'll never guess who wrote 1 Peter. It was Peter. Now, I want you to think for a moment about these two men. Imagine Peter and Paul at a loss for words. That would be a rare thing indeed. Paul would get a little long-winded, wouldn't he? You read some of the letters that he wrote, and every now and again he'd get a little long-winded. He'd write a sentence that would last about 5 verses in our Bible and just go on and on and on. And, of course, then there's Peter. Peter didn't always have the right thing to say, but Peter always had something to say, didn't he? He was one that was prone to put his foot in his mouth a little bit. And so when you think about these two men, they didn't often come up short when they were looking for words to describe things. And yet here they are. And they are talking about some of the good gifts that God's given as being unspeakable things. Their language has failed. As we look at this, I would go in order of what I read to you tonight. First of all, there is the unspeakable gift of God. Language fails to describe many of the gifts that God gives to us. Now, He doesn't describe in any detail exactly what He's speaking of right here. I think there can be no doubt that He is speaking of the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. But there are some other things that are considered a gift of God. Do you believe tonight? Are you saved by grace through faith tonight? Are you saved? If you are, it is only because you have believed on Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen. Do you know where that faith came from?
Amen.
It is called the gift of God. Amen. In Ephesians chapter number 2. Now, a lot of people try to describe saving faith. It's not real easy to describe, is it? It's a gift of God. If we could manufacture it, we could talk about it all day. Well, Brother Vincent's in the service here tonight. I've heard him use the acrostic, forsaking all, I trust Him. And he describes faith that way. I've heard people tell the story of a man who had a tightrope across Niagara Falls. Y'all ever heard that story? And he walked across the tightrope to the applause of the crowd that was watching. And then he came back and he grabbed a wheelbarrow and he pushed a wheelbarrow across that tightrope going over Niagara Falls. And he came back with that wheelbarrow and, wait, I told that story wrong, didn't I? He said, "How many of you believe I could push a wheelbarrow across the tightrope?" There you go, Vince, you'll have to edit that. "How many of you believe I could push a wheelbarrow across this tightrope?" And everybody said, "Oh, yes, yes." And he said, "All right, who's going to be the volunteer to get in the wheelbarrow?" And somebody said that faith would be getting in the wheelbarrow. Now, faith's a hard thing to describe. It is the gift of God. Mm-hmm. Eternal life. It's called the gift of God, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you want to start describing eternal life to me? Sometimes language fails. The Holy Ghost, or the power of God. You remember when Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, he tried to offer money unto Peter and said, "Give me this gift that I might lay hands on people and they receive the Holy Ghost also." And Peter said, "Your money perished with you, for you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money." And of course, for those of you who know the Comforter and have Him dwelling in your heart, He is most certainly a gift of God given unto fallen men. This is no doubt speaking of the Lord Jesus. And we're talking about Christ. Our words often fail. I find myself as a preacher, though I'm not often short of words, I feel very inadequate to describe the glories and the riches of the Lord Jesus. I feel like I can never say it just right when I try to tell people about His love. I feel like I can never preach His gospel just right when I try to tell Him what He did for sinners on the cross of Calvary. I feel like I can never magnify Him like He deserves to be magnified. If we're speaking of the Lord Jesus and we were speaking of His person tonight, He's matchless. There's no one among men that we can compare Him to. He is indescribable as what we know of mankind. If I were to talk to you tonight about the works of Jesus Christ, they are limitless. If the whole world were library shelves, the books that could be written of His works would overtake the shelves. There wouldn't be room for all of them. The whole world, John said, couldn't contain the books if they were all written down, that is, the works of Jesus. If I were to talk to you about His office of the Savior, I would have to say that He is matchless and numberless in those who call Him that. For even God's Word says He's redeemed out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation, a number which cannot be numbered. If I were to try to talk to you tonight about the love of Jesus Christ for your soul, I would have to say my words would come far short. Because the Bible says the love of Christ passeth knowledge. Paul spoke about Jesus Christ and he spoke about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Things that are past our finding out. Things that we're spending all of our life as His children right now learning about and discovering and having revealed to us. And things no doubt about Jesus that for all eternity we will be learning and worshiping Him over. But more than just speaking of the Lord Jesus, this verse speaks of Him as being the gift of God unto us. Now, I want you to think just for a moment of how you would describe such love as John 3:16 love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, have eternal life. Is it any wonder that that's a favorite verse of most people? Probably the most well-known verse amongst mankind. God had such a love for sinners, a love for this world. The Bible says He gave the gift of His Son. One songwriter in light of this wrote, "How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure." Another songwriter said, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star, reaches to the lowest hell." Goes on and said in that song, a different writer wrote these words, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. Or could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky?" I think he was saying that the gift of God's love toward mankind in sending His Son, in giving His Son, is unspeakable. Yes. Language fails.
Yes.
Cannot put it in words. The love of God. I know I've pointed this out many times in different places, but God tells us in His Word, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's about the height of what we can grasp. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I want to remind you, before you were saved, you were no friend of God. You were at enmity with God. And God didn't send His Son into the world to redeem righteous people or His friends, but He sent His Son into the world to die for hell-deserving sinners who had their fist in the face of Almighty God. And to describe a love like that is beyond my ability to put into words and articulate to you. But I'm going to tell you what. When you know that love that God has for you, and you've seen that love in the person of Jesus Christ, then you know it's real, whether you can describe it or not, articulate it or not. I want you to consider for a minute that nothing has ever surprised God. Nothing has ever caught God off guard. God did not send His Son into a world thinking that surely they would receive Him and reverence Him. God sent His only begotten Son into this world knowing they would not roll out the red carpet to welcome Him. He sent His Son into this world knowing that they would despise Him, that they would afflict Him. He sent His Son into this world and gave Him a body that would be abused by mankind. The very created beings of Jesus Christ would spit upon Him and lay stripes upon His back. And the all-knowing God, with such love for His people from eternity past and such love for sinners, send His Son anyway. Now that is a marvel to me.
Amen.
God would love us enough to send the best that heaven had to offer, yea, to come Himself in the person of Christ and lay down His life freely on the cross of Calvary, suffering our hell and our punishment and the wrath of God in Himself. That's a hard thing to describe, isn't it? No wonder He called it an unspeakable gift. This word unspeakable bears with it indescribable. How do you describe such a gift as that? How do you put it into words that God would love a world so much? How do you put it into words when you look in the mirror and you see yourself and you know your thoughts and you know what your deeds have been and you know where you've been and you know what you've done in days gone by and you know what your vile past is and you know yet in spite of that that Jesus Christ truly did wash your sins away? How do you put that into words? Well, sometimes language fails, doesn't it? The gift of God is not something that can be described by a rich adjective, but it's something that can only be known in the heart of a believer and enjoyed from here to all eternity. The gift of God is said to be indescribable. And then secondly, Peter mentions something that he does not have the words to describe adequately, and that is the joy of God's people. The joy of the saved. Now this word joy, it means unspeakable cheerfulness. It means calm delight. It's talking about something that God's people have that is different than what the world has. Unspeakable gift. Now, this is only known by those who love and believe on the Lord Jesus.
Right.
Whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is hard to put into words how a person has a smile on their face through their suffering. It is hard to adequately describe with words what it is that is inside of a person that gives them a song in the darkest night. It's hard to put into words what exactly it is that is working in someone who is made up of the same stuff that I'm made up of that gives them a calm during the storms of their life. Now, we may not be able to articulate, but just as with the gift of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, we can experience joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's hard to put into words what happens sometimes when you're going down the road and God's presence gets so real in your heart in the vehicle. And sometimes I feel almost like a madman when I talk about things like that, because so many people don't seem to understand what I'm talking about. Has God ever sat down on you? Have you ever experienced His presence in such a way that it made you long to embrace Him and to see Him face to face? Those times don't always come day in and day out, but I am going to tell you this. There are times when that fruit of the Spirit, joy, becomes so overwhelming within us that we don't know whether we should burst into laughter, burst into tears, or burst into song. And when God does that for us and in us, it really is indescribable, isn't it?
Amen.
Language fails when it is used to try to describe the experiences of Peter and John. How they could have stripes laid upon their back and they could go away from there rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. Well, we don't have the right kind of words to describe what it is inside a person that would make them sing and praise God in the midnight hour and pray unto Him with stripes on their back while they're in the jail cell. I've read stories of martyrs of days gone by. Thomas Cranmer, he had signed a recantation of his faith under pressure and threat of death from the Catholic Church. I shouldn't call them a Catholic Church, cult. He had signed a recantation and he was told that they would be lenient in his punishment if he would but read his recantation openly before all. And he stood before a council of men who hated him. And he stood with a crowd behind him that hated him. And he was reading his recantation of his newfound faith in the Lord Jesus. And as he was reading it, he stopped halfway through and did a 180-degree turn. And he laid down the paper and he said, "I have to denounce everything that I have written with my hand, for it is an offense to my heart." And he began to proclaim Jesus Christ to everyone that was sitting around him. And they said, "Away with him, we're going to burn him at the stake." And testimony says that the people that were leading him to the stake could hardly keep up with the old man. He was in such a hurry to meet up with Jesus. There's stories of Ridley and Latimer, how they were burned at the stake together. And Hugh Latimer said to Ridley, he said, "Play the man, Master Ridley." He said, "Today I trust God shall light a candle in England that shall not soon be put out." Now, I don't know if I was about to be burned at the stake if I would have those words, but God sure did it for them.
Right.
The story of Thomas Bilney, and how Thomas Bilney had recanted and they cast him into prison and he like to have lost his mind over the fact that he had renounced his faith, and he came back out of prison and began openly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. This time they cast him into the prison to be put to death. He had enough joy in his heart that when his friends came at his last meal before his day of execution, that he sat silently while they tried to encourage him, and finally he looked at them and he pulled the candle at the table next to him and he stuck his finger over that candle until it was burned to a nub. And then he took his open Bible and he pointed to Isaiah chapter 43. "Thou walkest through the flames, they shall not burn thee." And he said to burn for anything else for Christ would no doubt cause suffering. But I'll gladly go and suffer on His behalf. Now, that may not sound very pleasant to you tonight, but what it tells me is there is something so real that God gives unto His people in their times of distress.
Absolutely.
That they are able to face it with joy. You'll notice in the context of Peter's words, he is talking about people who are being greatly tried for their faith, who are being put under great trials of affliction, the trying of their faith, and yet during the midst of those trials, presently, he said, in whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I could tell you about a woman named Elizabeth Elliot, whose husband was a martyr. He was a missionary martyr. Elizabeth Elliot went back to the people who had slain her husband and gave them the gospel. What could cause a person to have that kind of joy? Well, I'm afraid your preacher tonight is going to come short in his words to describe it. I saw something the other day, and it was a video of the father of one of the victims of the Green River murderer from up in the Northwest. Y'all remember that years ago? It killed a number of young ladies. And before sentencing, the families of the victims were given an opportunity to speak to the man. And one by one, they got up and they voiced their hatred for him. They voiced their animosity towards him. And I'm not criticizing them. I don't think it's the right spirit. Some of them voiced that he'd soon go to hell where he belonged. But then there was a man who got up whose daughter had been slain by the Green River killer. He got up and he looked at him. He said, many hard words have been spoken to you today. And he said, you have made it very difficult for me to put into practice what I believe in my heart that God wants me to do, and that is to forgive you. And he looked at that man through the midst of all he had dealt with, and he said, you are forgiven. And he said it with a smile on his face. Now, there is something real in the heart of God's people that reaches far beyond our circumstance and what we're going through and what our trials are. And it is a joy and a richness that God gives that is far beyond words. And so Peter said, when we rejoice in the midst of our trials, we are doing it with a joy unspeakable. And it is glorious, full of glory, unspeakable joy. And then lastly tonight, Paul spoke about the unspeakable sights and sounds of heaven. I preached on heaven the other night. I started to listen to it, and I thought after a few minutes of it, I felt really bad that y'all had to listen to me. Heaven. One songwriter wrote that they could only imagine what heaven's going to be like. I don't know everything that's going to be over there, but Paul had been there. I believe God gave Paul a vision because Paul was going to need what he was looking forward to carry him through some of those perils and dangers that he faced in getting the gospel out. The word that he used right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is a word that means inexpressible. It means can't be expressed. There are not words to describe the sounds of heaven. There are not words to describe the sights of heaven. If I were to try, I would fall short in it. And so the Apostle Paul said that God didn't even want him to share all that he had seen and all that he had heard. But he did rejoice in the vision that God had given him. I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. Don't waste your time reading books that somebody wrote about 6 minutes in heaven or 90 minutes in heaven. Don't waste your time with that. You get in this book, and whether you're reading descriptions of heaven or whether you're reading descriptions of the Lord Jesus and His mercies, or whether you're reading instructions for life that He gives unto you, I believe He will use His Word to make heaven more real and more real to your soul every day. I wonder what would make a man say that he was groaning within himself to leave this world. Most men doing everything they can do to stay alive longer. You say, are they really? Well, go look at people's medicine cabinets. They're taking everything a doctor tells them to take so that they can stay here a little longer. But Paul said that is not the case for God's people. We are earnestly groaning. We are longing for that land that God has for us. Paul said this, that he was in a strait betwixt two. He had a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Heaven is indeed indescribable. I don't know what it'll be, and I won't re-preach what I preached a couple weeks back. I do know this. There's going to be the sound of singing like we've never heard here below.
That's
right. Brother Brandon, we'll all be on key over there. And we'll all be on the right time. And I believe there will be parts in that harmony. I don't know what part I'll have, but I know I got a part. Some of you that wish you could sing, you're going to be able to sing over there. Some of you that think you can sing, you're going to be able to sing over there. Amen. And I don't know what the language of heaven's going to be. But I know it's going to be a unified language. There will be no barrier over there. I'm going to be a hard time articulating your words to someone else, making them understand. Many, many times I have tried to witness to people. I've learned a little bit of Spanish. It's not real, real good. But where we're from in North Carolina, there were a lot of Hispanic workers. And some of them didn't speak good English, and I've always felt like you need to witness, even on the job site, if you can. If God opens a door, you need to try to talk to people. And so I would learn to ask them, ¿Conoces Jesús? Do you know Jesus? ¿Es tu Padre en cielo? Is He your Father in heaven? Do you know Him? Have you repented? But you know there won't be any barrier like that on the other side. I remember I was working with a friend of mine on a job down, it was in down Lake Summit, Brother Brandon. We were working down there, and I had a CD player on the job, and I'd put together some music and just some good Christian songs and hymns. And I was playing it on the song, and there were two Hispanic ladies on the job that were painting. And they were working over here, and we were working over here, and I had the radio playing. We was enjoying it, and it finally stopped, and we were busy working. I didn't notice it. And one of those gals came over to me, and she was trying in her language. She couldn't really communicate well. She was asking me if I could play the CD over again. She was enjoying it. She couldn't understand all the words of it, but she knew it was God's music. Well, there won't be no more of that in heaven. I don't know all that Paul heard, but I can guarantee you this. He heard a resounding unison of voices, worshiping and glorifying Jesus Christ. And I believe he did hear a new song being sung. And I believe God gave him that vision, though he couldn't describe it to everybody. He had it in his heart and he knew it was real, and God gave him that to help him to continue on in the faith for the Lord Jesus. I wonder if God's done any of these things for you tonight. I know He has me. I don't know why He has, but I know He has me. Has He made His gift of love real to your heart? Be a thanksgiving like none you've ever experienced before if God were to open your heart tonight and save your soul.
Amen.
Has God given you joy? Joy unspeakable and full of glory? I said this the other day. I was preaching at a church not long back, and it looked like the election wasn't going the way people wanted to, and I think all the red got licked off their candy. You can still smile. God's still on the throne. Do you rejoice in tribulation? Do you know anything about that? Oh, and do you have a sight in your heart of that rich eternity that God has for you? Thought about it as we were by the graveside on Tuesday, Miss Juanita. Man, what is she seeing?
Yeah.
No more of that over on the other side.
Amen.
I wonder if that's real to you tonight. I hope it is. I trust that it is. God is not some myth. That's not some fairy tale. There is a reality that God's love, God's salvation, God's joy, and God's peace, and God's heaven. Though my words may come far short of describing any of it, I hope that you know Him and you know all that He's given unto you.